This is a HeadGum Original.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Don't let nobody judge you, tell you what you can and cannot do. You
got it. From Tyler Perry.
I'm standing here right now. Never imagined any of this stuff could have happened. Don't stop. You got the heart
of a lion running. Now more than ever.
You know what I feel like?
Don't you start, Brian.
I feel like church.
We need to sing. To dance. To play.
Hell, I done shook some loose. I be back.
Oh, Lord.
And on August 27th.
Don't you have your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Genesis, the first chapter, the 47th verse of 1974.
What?
Stay with me. If you can't follow how deep I'm getting, just stay where you are.
You don't have to drive to the theater.
Let's go.
You don't have to wait in line. You don't even have to leave your house.
Oh, back the hell up. Got that coronavirus going around.
Because Tyler Perry's Madea's Farewell Play is premiering in your living room.
You can't tell if you hit because you got on too many damn colors. You don't even know if you bleed.
Tyler Perry's Madea's Farewell Play.
You can't leave yet, Madea. We didn't get to the gospel.
This is my favorite gospel song.
Okay, this is the 15th and final episode.
No!
Oh, boy. I am genuinely sad about this.
I feel that this is ending too soon. It's yes. Like, I mean, there's part of me that's like, we should go out wanting more. That's probably for the best. Because with Lord of the Rings, we were like digging into the scraps and it was just too much. Mm-hmm. But there's so much left to cover in this world.
So
that
much.
We're not covering. I'm like, we haven't watched Boo.
We haven't watched Boo
Why Did I Get Married 2?
Wait, why did you skip all of these?
Because we only had 15 episodes.
Do you know how many things this man has?
Yeah. Too many.
We didn't get to all the we didn't get to Bruh. We didn't get to Sisters. We didn't get to the Meet the Browns new series.
We did watch Assisted Living.
We watched Meet the Browns, but we didn't watch Assisted Living.
Oh,
are you guys ever driving around Los Angeles and you suddenly just see like a new billboard for a Tyler Perry thing and that you're like, oh, that exists. Like, I feel like I have that experience once a week.
Yes.
It's every day I find that there's some new series he has. Yeah. He literally puts something out every second. I mean, yeah. It's shocking.
It's truly, truly wild. I went to a baby shower and spent a chunk of time. He was there. And I was like, I can't believe my friends are friends with Tyler Perry. No, I spent 15 solid minutes explaining the Oval.
I've explained the Oval to so many people. It's like my main topic. Mm-hmm. And there's so much to say. And I mean, anytime you get someone, if you start explaining like one part of the oval, you have to say about 10,000 more things because it just goes. And I've only seen the pilot.
Okay, so I shouldn't ask what the oval is.
You can revisit our oval episode because honestly, there's a solid hour about it. And that's what we would just recap for
it's
you right now.
It's fully nuts. Anything that you think could happen on a TV show happens. And then so much happens, he creates a full-blown spinoff of something that happens in the pilot. But we're not talking about that today.
No, we're not.
So today we have watched a Tyler Perry stage play, a filmed version of Madea's farewell play from 2020. It is available on BET Plus. You can also watch it on Amazon, or you can record it on Philo. There's going to be spoilers, so watch it first if you're mad about spoilers. So, okay, Lauren, how do you feel about watching this play?
I know. I feel like we need to introduce our guest, honestly, because we just need to hear all of his opinions. So our guest is, you've already heard his voice. He's a writer, comedian, performer who has written on The Amber Ruffin Show and The Good Place. He has also hosted the podcasts Gilmore Guys and Punch Up the Dam. It's Demi Adichie, beavers.
Hello.
Did you punch up the dam?
Tyler Perry has actually already picked up Punch Up the Dam for 3 seasons.
And they're shooting it in 1 week total. So we're so excited to talk about Madea's farewell play. Now, this play, just before we launch into like the full on summary, what were your initial thoughts about this play? And had you seen it before?
I had not seen it before. My mom likes Tyler Perry. And so every so often I will walk into the living room of her house and just be like, that's a Tyler Perry thing. And you can just tell from the feel of what's going on that it's a Tyler Perry thing, even when he's not on screen. And it's like the last time I saw her watching a Tyler Perry thing was so long ago, but I saw this and I was like, I'm getting deja vu because it feels so similar. And I was just like, are all of his things do they just have this sort of energy, all his plays? Like, how many plays did you guys watch?
This is the only play we've watched. But
okay.
But his stuff has the same feeling. Like, there's a family where there are secrets and they will get revealed towards the end.
And it's like similar secrets, I feel like. I'm like, it's just someone's cheating, this person dating this person, then they do some gospel singing. Anyway, I hadn't seen it, but yeah, I had a lot of feelings about it.
Essentially had. I mean, I first of all, I was quite upset when I saw that it was 2 hours and 16 minutes long.
Same.
I thought, there's no way. How is this going to be so long? And then there were so many things about it that I was really bored by. But one thing that I thought was really interesting was how, first of all, Madea takes 30 minutes to come out, which is a very standard Madea practice. Mm-hmm. Like, we want Madea now. We want Madea all the time. And we kind of just only want to see Madea. I think my takeaway was, like, I would have just watched Madea talk out of her ass for 2.5 hours. Then at the end, though, there's, like, full-on karaoke for, like, 35 minutes.
Yes. What the hell was that? It's a concert.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But everyone had songs. Amazing voices.
Everyone was amazing. Yeah.
That was
so I could see, like, seeing it live, you would be like, oh my God, I'm going to let this wash over me. But in my living room with my dog, I was like, what?
I started being like, I'm going to fast forward through half of these. And
I wish I could, but I always feel like I'm going to miss something important for the podcast. And I was like, I guess I'll just watch everyone sing every word of this famous song that I know. Like, it's just like,
it's Pony. Okay.
Like, they
I did enjoy that. Tyler's Pony.
Well, how about when Tyler went, maybe lock them doors and turn the light? I was like, I cannot believe this is happening.
I didn't understand why there was a country interlude, but I was like, I guess I'm here for it.
I don't know what that was. And I mean, so overall, it was like, I feel like I couldn't follow the play, weirdly. I was watching, but I was like, who, what, where, when, why? Like, I just didn't know what was going on. How did you feel, Nicole?
I felt the same way, especially in the beginning when I was like, these are laugh lines, but nobody's laughing.
No one was laughing. And then I kept thinking, okay, the audience is on really low. Nope. Then something funny would happen and they'd go crazy. And I was like, what the fuck? Why is everyone silent?
They were waiting for Madea.
For Madea.
Yeah.
They were waiting for the people they knew. Aunt Bam got a huge, like, ooh, woo.
Yeah.
Mr. Brown got a woo. Cora.
But even Mr. Brown, he got like a woo, but then like he would be saying his goofy stuff and then everyone's like, okay.
Yeah, maybe like, they were just like, Madea, we want Madea.
Yeah, they're like, don't tease us. Give us the entree. Come on. It's very funny to like watch this without any prior understanding of the Perryverse and just sort of like you can tell when someone enters and they're like, oh, this is a beloved character. Because everyone's like, yeah.
And some of those characters were in like 90% of the things that we've watched.
I looked up the Wikipedia, the chart of like characters, and I was like, okay, so this is these people are in all of them.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Yeah. He does reuse people like Omar, who I didn't know that was his name in the play. He's Sam on the Oval. And then I think a couple other people are on a couple other TV shows.
I got to Google the Oval. I feel like this is going to come up a lot.
So the Oval is the Tyler Perry White House show.
That's what it sounded like. But is it like, is it just?
It's absurd. It's the most. Yes. It's a soap opera on crack. It's like the first lady and the president are punching each other in the first minute of the show.
Awesome.
Of the pilot.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's a real thrilling ride. I've now seen over 30 episodes. But yeah, this play was so hard to follow.
It really was. It was so weird because at the end of the day, I think it was a really simple plot.
Yes.
Like, I mean, when we read the plot, I think that'll be helpful. I almost wanted to read it ahead of time because I was like, I want to know what's happening. But I was like, it's like there's someone who's like getting divorced or something.
Yes.
I was like missing. Like, it was so weird. And then I also feel like Madea goes off book like a lot.
Ooh,
and fully breaks the fourth wall like so many times.
And was just openly laughing at times. I was like, Tyler Perry's having the time of his
life.
But
doesn't it feel like stand up or something where it's like kind of planned?
Uh-huh.
Like he'd be like someone was holding a pan of mac and cheese and they're like, it's really hot, watch out. And then he's like, that's not mac and cheese. That's just, it's cold. This isn't even hot. There's napkins inside. And then they're like, that's our prop. And then Madea was like, oh, are we acting? And then I was like, you have done this. Like, it's such a weird move to like.
You wrote this.
Yeah.
You wrote it.
He tried to break the fourth wall a couple of times where you just be like, why is she walking in the middle of the stage? And I was just like, what?
Because you directed her to do that.
It's like you're making fun. Like, yeah. Why does she have to go to the middle of the stage to make a phone call or whatever? I was like, you wrote it. You directed it. You planned it. You've seen them do this.
I can imagine him typing just like, oh, that's brilliant. They're going to lose their minds when they realize that I'm Tyler Perry as Tyler Perry. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and the times where Madea like lowered her voice and she's like,
yes.
Oh, okay. And then, I mean, it's funny, but it feels like it's a shtick that's like brought out on purpose. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, there was one point where Madea's like, this is something that I do. I really do this. And I was like, I didn't need the qualifier. Like,
when Tyler wanted to make it known that he actually meant what he was about to say, he was like, as Madea, like, you should always say, actually, let me just tell you, I actually really do this.
Like, the payoff was, I have pictures around my house.
Photos. So you have memories. Of
yeah. And I was like, okay.
It's
I
not like the most original idea.
Yeah.
I think when you go to anyone's house, you're like, oh, family is on the wall and the good times. Boy. This is
I think that's all very like play stuff where it's just sort of like having to make it feel so live that you like engage with the audience on a level where it's like, we know that we're performing a thing, like where he just starts making jokes about Augusta and you're just like, okay, that's where they, yeah, I guess
that's
if I
where
were
they
in the
are.
Audience, I'd be like, yeah, this is crazy. It's like when you go see a musical and they make a joke about something that we all know is real and like not in the, where it's like, oh, this song's never going to work. What's it called? Thriller. And everyone's like, oh, okay, yeah. It's just like, what? This is only four.
That's the worst when you're watching like a play about like a famous musician. And it's like, they're like, let me just tinker around. And it's like the most famous song. And you're like,
exactly. Oh. Yeah. Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, let's read our final installment for at least the time being of News Media. This is crazy, actually. Tyler Perry teases third installment of Why Did I Get Married? It's called Why Did I Get Married Again? Okay, this is what we're talking about. every second he has another fucking project. I don't understand. He just announced he was bringing Madea back.
He's bringing Madea back. He's doing the sequel to Why Did I Get Married, or the threequel. He has a Jazz Man's Blues. He has the Madea movie on Netflix. And guess what? These are all probably going to come out in 2021.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I mean, that's why this show could go on forever.
Forever.
How does he do it?
He shoots movies in 8 days.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge thing. He shoots things in 8 days.
Yeah.
Which makes sense that he can do a play if it's probably structured the same way. Because I kept thinking, like, how does he, like, rehearse and memorize this all so fast? But I assume that the movies are probably staged the same way the plays are, where it's like they do the rehearsal and whatnot. And then it's just like, just go. Do as many lines as you can right now. And we'll cut it together. But, like,
fully.
It's crazy. It's also just, like, it's so much work for one person. Which, have you guys talked at all about the whole, like, him not writing with anyone else and, like, firing the writers?
Yeah. I don't know if we know about him firing.
We didn't know he fired the writers.
Yeah. So there was a thing on one show where it got misrepresented as, like, him firing writers because they tried to unionize on a show of his, and then he ended up writing it himself. And I think it's more that he just was like, yeah, they just didn't write like I wrote, so I fired them and wrote it myself. And I'm still like, well, that still sucks. Just hire different writers.
Or but just teach people, because, like, he doesn't write with, like, act breaks.
Don't you think you could write in the style?
Like, yeah, you just write what you want for, you know, a couple of pages. And then you go improvise a bunch of scenes. We have a script. Mm-hmm. Yes. But yeah, just teach people how you write.
So wait, about Why Did I Get Married Again? On June 11th, shortly after the news dropped that Tyler Perry will be releasing another Madea film on Netflix, he took to Twitter to tease a third installment of Why Did I Get Married, of his franchise, titled Why Did I Get Married Again? Along with the photo, he tweeted, I've got a question. Should we revisit this?
Shut up.
That's like that, like, meme where it's like, I did a thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's unclear if Perry was teasing the film to test audience reception or if the film is actually in the works. Well, I'm sure it is.
That's the same thing. The way that he writes them, it feels like he can just, like, send the tweet and then just start writing. It's like, well, I'm halfway done. And, you know, the poll's at 50%. Let's go. Let's do it.
I also think it's funny that it's the third installment, but there's six rings.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
Wait, are there? There's more than three couples.
Well, yeah, there were more than three couples.
Yeah, there's Tyler and his wife, Janet Jackson and her husband, the screaming lady who I love and her husband, and then get off the plane. Yeah, there's four couples.
Harrison Ford.
That guy was so mean. Yeah, it was Harrison Ford.
it was Harrison Ford. And it was actually Air Force One. Get off my plane. I do not negotiate with terrorists.
I would love to see Harrison Ford in a Madea movie. Just the most out of place.
I would love it.
Yeah. I would very much love that.
I mean, there have been some casting choices like that in some of the things we've watched. Like, I feel like Kathy Bates was, like, pretty unexpected.
She was in The Family That Prays. And you'd think it's about an evil family. It's not.
It's not.
What? Why?
Because praise is spelled P-R-E-Y-S.
Yes. Yes. Oh, sorry. Not like praise.
Yeah.
Like, I'll praise.
So it's like the family that prays, and you're like, oh, they're gonna get something. Like, they're gonna take advantage of them or do something. It was really like, this is part of it though. Like where we feel like he just types because you're like, wait, it seemed like you actually had something. Mm-hmm. Like even the title tells me a lot, and then none of that happened. So yes. I don't know.
Sometimes I see his titles and I feel like they're the titles that, like, you come up with for a TV show that's been running for like 50 years where you're just like, yeah, there's a pun in there. We'll figure out the plot later. But is there, like, any sort of thematic difference between, like, a Madea's family, whatever, and a Why Did I Get Married? It feels like they're all just kind of.
Well, Madea's more goofy than the movies without Madea. But Tyler Perry's in the movies without Madea. Or is he in all of them?
He's in most of them.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, with Madea, most of the movies, I would say, are not comedies. Even Madea movies are walking a line between 10 genres. But, like, so when Madea enters the screen, it's funny and crazy, but then it's, like, back to, like, really sad. And maybe Madea makes, like, a speech that's, like, actually moving at some point. So overall, like, yeah, I mean, I think the movies that don't have Madea are, like, pretty dramatic and, like, intense.
Should we go to a break and then jump right in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's take a break.
make your mom smile. Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is newcomers. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30 and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back! All right, so Madea's farewell play was written by Tyler Perry, directed by Tyler Perry, released August 27th, 2020.
2020?
So there's a thing, there's a joke where they make a joke about coronavirus and are
they
suddenly
do.
Trying, wait a minute, what?
Yeah,
yes, there's a point where when Madea enters, two characters like hug and he's like, stay away from me, got that coronavirus. And then I was like, how early is it into it where it's still kind of cute? Or
okay,
is this midway in and
this was February 2020.
Really?
Okay, so it's right before. Okay.
Because
okay.
I'm looking at we have a little bit of info, and it says the play toured sold out venues from January 2019 to February 2020.
Oh my God.
Because I was curious. I was like, are they just shooting this in like June and they're just like, fuck it, everyone coming to the theater? Because they cut to the audience and you can tell that like COVID doesn't exist. Anyway.
I wanted them to cut to the audience a lot more. I wanted to see reactions. I felt like that would have made it feel more fun to watch.
But. Yeah, they only cut just to be like, Augusta, that's you.
Yeah.
Yes. Strange.
Should we get into this plot?
Yeah.
Okay. So Medea's family, and also, Demi, like, every time Medea's family gathers, it is a different family.
Really?
Yes. Medea has a gigantic family, and never tries to like correlate, like make you understand how everyone's related.
Some people called her grandma in this one.
Someone did call her grandma.
That was new.
Does Cora? Oh yeah. So, okay. So we're going to get into it. So they gather to celebrate her great grandson Malik as he prepares to graduate from law school. Malik is Cora's grandson. Cora's other daughter, Robin, notices that their friend Sylvia's ring and they celebrate her engagement. Oh, they notice her ring and celebrate her engagement. They're interrupted by Tiffany Titi, Darlene's daughter, who arrives at the house. Titi tells Darlene, Robin, and Sylvia that she's waiting for Malik to arrive with his friend Devin, who she's been trying to date.
Okay, and the whole world around Titi, I need to know more. I need to understand what is happening here, because everyone is extremely mean to Titi.
So mean.
Yes. The Titi stuff drove me nuts, because... Yeah. So there's parts where you think, oh, okay, there's going to be something serious that comes out of this character. And they do not give her any, even near the end, it's just sort of like she's just supposed to be a joke thing. But then I just, from a social sense, I'm just sort of like, so is this a trans character? Because they have that line near the beginning.
Yes, yes.
And then I'm like, well, Tyler Perry tackling a trans character at all he's not the right person to handle it. This is not the right thing to handle it. I don't know if a thing where it's like, isn't a man kind of funny in an old woman costume the right way to handle it? But then it's also like, okay, so Quay Rogers, the actor playing Titi, I looked it up, identifies as a man. So this is a man playing a trans character. And so the idea of it being like, all right, well, this is a man pretending to be a woman, and this one is not funny, and this man pretending to be a woman is funny. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, whoa, there's a lot happening here. And he doesn't.
And no one knows how. Yeah. No one knows how to react.
Do they clarify that TT is trans? Because I was like, is TT like Medea, where Medea is a woman, but we joke about how masculine this woman is?
I was confused.
I felt that everyone was so transphobic, honestly, that it was like, it had to be that the character was trans and not just an annoying girl or something. It was like a really weird, heavy-handed obsession with putting her down.
Yeah.
Aunt Bam does say, those three boys over there.
Yes.
And Titi's like, who? And then,
And then Titi's like, okay, get it through your head, I'm your daughter. And it's like, okay, this is going to be a serious thing. Then they just start calling her ugly. I was like, what is happening?
I know, it was so mean. And it was relentless. And I felt like then they were like, initially when the character first walked out, I thought that she was going to be a comedic character, like just as like a larger than life personality or something. But it was like, no, she shut down immediately, like by everyone else. Mm-hmm. And then like, she has a couple moments of like being funny, but then like, doesn't get laughs because it's confusing, I think, how she's set up. So you're not sure if you're supposed to or not.
And then she starts having catchphrases. And I was like, what's going on here? She keeps doing this thing where she goes, what? And then see, and I was like, the audience is not laughing at this, and it just kept coming back, and I was like, all right.
Even when Titi sings a song at the end, when everyone gets up and sings a song, they don't let her sing. And I was like, this is fucked up. Like, I'm like, this is so weird.
So
it was
weird.
Very strange.
Like, doesn't everyone feel bad? Like, what is this?
I guess
this?
Not.
It was as if Titi just walked onto the stage and they were like, we didn't rehearse with this person.
Yeah.
Let's be mean to them.
It also feels like I feel like if you ask Tyler Perry, he'd be like, well, I'm actually doing something great here, because they go three men, and then she's like, well, no, I'm a daughter. And then everyone's like, okay, this is a woman. But then they're also like, but just because she's a woman doesn't mean we won't be mean to her as a woman. And it's like, we respect her gender wise, mm-hmm. but not as a person. And that's well, why that, we're
that's great. Definitely yeah. a through line in the movies anyway. Like women yes. get as much shit as the men.
The worst yeah. things happen yeah. to women in his movies. Yeah.
So, okay, Malik arrives and everyone congratulates him. When Devin enters with him, TT asks him if he blocked her, and Devin says he changed his number. And this was like a really weird moment too. Mm-hmm. Aunt Bam shows up and Robin's husband Omar helps her inside. So, yeah, like, so TT's like, actually like, wait, you blocked me? And then it's like a weird moment that's kind of like him obviously lying and saying, I changed my number. And then like Aunt Bam comes in and everyone's so excited that it like just takes away from it. But the TT storyline doesn't pay off at all. So you're like,
no.
Wait, why am I just finding out that like this guy blocked her?
Yeah, there's no resolution. There's no resolution to anything with TT.
No. But I will say Aunt Bam, I don't know if any of her stuff was scripted. She was just going and going.
I loved her song at the end.
Her song was, everyone was such a good singer.
I know.
The joke I liked was when she was like, oh, them stairs. And they're like, there were two. And she was like, them stairs. That just, it made me laugh.
How old is the actress? Because that was also at the end, they're putting on the screen like huge images of each actor. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't show hers. Like they like were the camera was too low, and I was like, wait, I want to see her head without all this wig. And
also, stuff. She was the only person who was still in her costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought that was actually unfair, but maybe that's part of her like thing of not showing what she really looks like.
She's 54.
Yeah. Okay, well, I even thought she was younger than that.
I thought she was younger than that too, but yeah, she made me laugh. I would go in between like laughing and then being like, oh boy, this is, you're being so mean.
I had a few moments where I was like embarrassed and like, damn, this is kind of funny. Yeah.
I laughed a few times for yes. sure.
Yeah.
The
first time like, she says Uber, I was like, that's great. And then they just yes. kept doing it. And I was like, all right. And then they throw in a rape joke. And I'm like, oh all boy. Right, come
oh
on.
Oh boy.
When she said, I mean, we will get that. I don't know if that's going to be in our breakdown here, but like she says, I took an Uber and then I had to, the guy wanted me to rape him and he, and she just keeps saying that. And yeah. then they figure out, no, you mean rate him, RATE. And she's like,
which is fully insane that she keeps taking the Ubers. If I took an Uber and the driver said, please rape me, I'd be like, oh, I guess I don't take Ubers anymore.
I
don't, this is like very weird for me. I don't do that. But
these
yeah,
characters had... don't live in the real world.
No.
They sure don't. Okay, so Cora arrives with Mr. Brown and they greet everyone. Mr. Brown starts singing a mashup of gospel songs, pulling up family members one by one to join along. And that moment I said, oh, this is a musical?
It's a musical.
It's a musical.
They sing known songs, though. There's no original. It's an original musical. Mm-hmm. And Mr.
That's
Brown.
That's too much time for Tyler Perry to write.
He's not going to write a song. And Mr. Brown, who I honestly think is a very funny character in a lot of the things that we've watched, is not getting any laughs in this, man.
No, they didn't give him much to do.
But even when he ran in, like when he was stoned or whatever on accident.
Oh, is that what happened? I was so confused when he ran in without his shirt on and the goggles and like the staff. I was like, wait,
he ate
what?
Like a bunch of the brownies or whatever.
Yeah,
he
had. That plot was drawn out so much in a weird way, because like he starts eating them and they're like, they start laughing. You're like, oh, okay, it's edibles. But they try to tease it out like, whoa, what's going on with him? What's he eating? And you're like, well, it's edibles. It's edibles. And then at some point they're just like, he ate weed. And everyone's like, weed. And you're like, no, yeah.
We know.
No.
Tyler Perry likes to pretend that weed is not mainstream.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Madea like loves weed and it's like so yeah, crazy. It's like
yeah, yeah. And a lot of old people like weed. A lot of yeah. people just like weed. Some people have whole personalities built around weed. Oh, it's yeah. not
legal
taboo.
In many places now. Yeah. Like it's not.
I realized that near the end of this play, I realized like, well, this whole thing is boomer humor. It's sort of like it's targeted for like an older yeah. audience who will just sort of go like, weed, that's kind of crazy. Or like, it will just be like, oh, Madea's talking about millennials. Oh, now we're, yeah, get them. Like,
what does she call them? Mintennials?
Magnoliums.
Magnoliums.
And then they just have like a big back and forth of everyone calling it the wrong name. And I was like, man, this is killing in Augusta.
Oh my God. Okay. So Medea arrives and tells the family about how she used to be a stripper named Bodacious. She then confuses TT for Big Frida before telling everyone that the burning bush Moses came across in the Bible was marijuana. Now, the Big Frida moment was kind of funny because it was so such a current reference that I was like surprised by.
Yes. And that the audience got it. I was like, whoa, okay, I don't know who's in the audience now.
I agree. It was so specific. Mm-hmm.
I did like the stripper story that was fully improvised because at the end when she was like, they said I was pregnant and then I got back on the pole and you slid right out covered in glitter and dollar bills. And then at the end, Medea falls out of character and goes, that was stupid. And I was like, I mean, it was a funny story. Why undercut it? Like, just let it be funny.
That's the part where Tyler completely broke character and was like, oh, this is so stupid. This is so stupid. He was like,
if that was improvised, I'm like, Tyler Perry is good at improv, which makes sense that he's just so sort of like,
good at improv.
Fucking, yeah.
No, that's the driving force, I think, behind everything is that he is very funny.
There's a great outtake of him and what's his name? The Dr. Phil in Medea Goes to Jail. There's a great improvised take. It's in the movie. It's just watch that scene. It's great.
Yeah, but like when he is like dancing as Medea and like being totally crazy, he's very funny. And like it's just like a kind of confusing thing because I feel like we don't get enough of him as himself. I mean, I don't know enough about who he actually is or what he's like in conversation. So like when I see him as Medea being like so goofy, I'm like, this is funny. Mm-hmm. Like this is like, it's funny to watch you commit 100% and like grind on the floor with those huge tits. Like that's really absurd.
When Medea jumped out of her seat and her titties flew so high, I laughed so hard. And then she's like, "Ooh, I knocked something out of my stomach," and then held her butt as she walked away. I continued to laugh. Like I paused it because I laughed so hard.
Medea with a gun got me. I was just like, that's gold. I don't know what it is, but when Medea pulls out a gun, I'm laughing.
Yeah.
And then Aunt Bam, at one point she tells her to duck. That made me laugh when her duck was just putting
put her head down,
her chin to her chest. And I'm like, that's not a duck. So Darlene's ex-husband, William, arrives without an invitation and everyone's upset by his presence. TT refuses to say hi to him. Then William says hi to Medea. She pulls out a gun and shoots the floor, causing everyone to duck and take cover.
I feel like it's important to note that like by this point, 90% of what's happening is like serious.
Yes.
Like it doesn't feel like a comedy. Like we're talking about like the funniest things that happened, but like it's mainly silent and like they're kind of doing like a dramatic like soap. Like it just feels like, and I was kind of like, who, what, like, I don't know what, like, why do I care? And it felt like it was a lot of introducing people for like an hour.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Also, Medea does this weird bit where she talks about Rosa Parks and that she took a picture of Rosa Parks on her iPhone and then shows a picture of Rosa Parks. And I was like, what is,
and Medea was in the window. Did you see that?
You know, I honestly didn't clock that.
I rewound it because I was like, what is so funny?
Did not clock that.
Yeah.
I loved that bit. That was, I genuinely cackled. I was just like, oh my God. Because also the reveal of seeing it big on the screen up there, I was just like, if you're in the audience, and you don't know there's a screen up there and all of a sudden you just see a giant photo of Rosa Parks with Tyler Perry in it, I'd be like, this is art. This is postmodern art. Put this entire scene in MoMA.
I'm so sad I missed it. I have to go back and watch that scene again.
When Tyler Perry just goes off and they just he just lets himself just like riff for a bit. I'm just sort of like, this works. Cause like there's that story he's telling about like making lunch for someone where he just keeps listing foods. And I was like, this is fucking ridiculous, but it works.
Yeah, I know. So Robin's ex-husband calls and Robin is furious that he's leaving her kids with his new girlfriend. I swear to God, I didn't catch any of this as it was happening. Omar asks if they can go get the kids and Robin gets angry and says they need to spend time with their father. Omar storms out. William tells Darlene that he's engaged to Sylvia, revealing that the engagement ring they celebrated earlier was from him. Darlene is shocked and the rest of the family is outraged.
Yeah. And everyone was mad because God, the characters in this, there's so many people. it was like, you don't sleep with your best friend's man or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, but like, I don't know. What if they're happier that way?
Yeah. Also, you don't like him.
Well, do you watch Real Housewives of Atlanta?
I watched it in the beginning and I watched the episode where they all fucked that stripper.
Yeah. Well, I missed something because I just saw like a news thing that Portia is now engaged to Fallon's ex-husband. Basically, there was a side character, Fallon, who came on as like a friend, and she was married to this guy. And then I guess she got divorced from him, and now Portia's marrying. I was blown away by that, but I need to catch up on the show because I don't know if that was covered on the show or not, or if that was just what's been happening in pandemic. But people marry each other's friends' exes.
They do. I mean, it happens.
I think if you're like genuinely over them, then it should just be like, yeah, all right. But if it's like there's something there and it's like, well, then your friend should probably know about this. And it shouldn't be like a secret that the fact that it was a secret that they were dating at all to the point that now they're getting married, it's like time to reveal. I'm like, that's fucked up.
Yes, that is fucked up. But I guess it's just like being in comedy or whatever. Like it's pretty incestuous. So like people date each other or whatever. So I'm like, whatever to it. But boy, people were, TT was real angry.
Yeah. TT was, that was the closest thing TT had to a serious moment. Just being like, I don't want to see my father. And then you're like, well, why? And then it's revealed. And I'm like, I don't know. I guess I understand that. And then anyway, we're still describing the plot, but like then some other shit happens with TT and they don't treat that seriously at all. I'm like, well, no, they should.
Yeah, it was TT's whole thing was not respected. Okay.
Yeah. So everyone leaves the house to head to the graduation. Cora sits with Darlene and tells her they need to pray about the situation. They begin singing another gospel song.
And the songs there were some gospel songs, but then there were some pop songs.
Yes.
That were sung and R&B songs and stuff. And it was like just songs, you know, from the 90s mainly, I feel like. And I thought that was really random. like the gospel song made more sense because I feel like in his movies too, like he incorporates that. And that's kind of like part of the movie often is like people end up in a church. There's a song. It's related somehow to the emotion of the scene. But yes, I'm trying to remember what songs they were singing.
They sang Brian McKnight's Back at One. And that's when that was one where I was like, wait, I recognize these lyrics.
What's going on? And the guy singing it was like, he was totally, I mean, everyone had a great voice. So it was, pleasant, but it was like, he was like milking it. And I was going like, this is karaoke. Like you're just singing a song that we like, you know,
full blown karaoke.
If I saw Tyler Perry play and then just suddenly got tricked into being like, surprise, this is a jukebox musical, but it was still 2 hours and 16 minutes, I'd be like, no, cut these out.
Right.
Like a list of songs to listen to afterwards. And I'll go home and be like, all right, on the drive home, I'm going to listen to these songs and be like, what if they sang that? Cool.
Yeah, I didn't really, the songs didn't add to the story.
No.
It didn't help me understand characters more. It was just
was more distracting.
Yeah. Yes. Because you're like, wait, what is that? Why are they singing now? Okay.
Like, because even that song is kind of silly where it's like one, or it's like five, repeat steps, one through four. It's like so stupid. Okay, so everyone arrives home from the graduation. Oh, Robin and Omar reconcile, and Medea gives Robin advice about focusing on what she has in life. Medea apologizes to Sylvia for fighting with her.
And she apologizes and then burns a cigarette into her shoulder.
Oh, I feel like I missed that.
Medea has a cigarette that looks like it's been
like her weed.
It bothered me that cigarette never got shorter the entire play.
Because it wasn't lit at all. She doesn't take a drag from it. It's a prop that the payoff is she burns a woman.
Yeah.
And then Medea has a speech where she was like, you looking behind you. Why are you looking behind you? There's a reason why the rear mirror is smaller than the windshield. And I was like, it's smaller than the windshield so you can see out of the windshield.
Imagine if the rear view mirror was as big as the windshield. Like,
how would you drive?
You got a duck to look through the windshield.
You'd be like, just driving all hunched over.
Like, while that is a really stupid quote, I did go, huh.
I did too. And then I looked it up and I was like, whoa, that's really good writing. I was like, then I looked it up and it's like on a bunch of photos of like sunsets. I'm like, oh, okay, this is not his idea.
I thought it was his. Yeah. I did think it was good till I thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also was like, well, there's mirrors on the sides of the car to help you see back and they tell you to turn around. So it's not a great metaphor at all.
Mr. Brown, Omar, and William talk outside of the house, which is a thing he loves, to have three men talking outside of a house.
This conversation. Oh my God. Yes.
Mr. Brown tells William that he should not be coming to the house with Sylvia. He then breaks into a song. Sylvia apologizes to Darlene and tells her she didn't know what to do because she loves William. She admits that she was with William when they were still married on their family cruise. Malik asks William to leave. Devin confesses that he and Darlene have been seeing each other with, oh boy, and Titi's heartbroken, and Malik is furious.
So the song Mr. Brown sings is like so intense. Like it's all about humping, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. That conversation takes such a turn because he's just sort of like, you guys need to respect your woman, except for you. You need to be respected by a woman. And then they're both like, you don't fuck. And he's like, oh, I fuck. And then he goes into a song.
And it's not funny though. And it's not even supposed to be. Like it was like, it was so serious. And it was truly about him being like, I can get it like this. I can get it like that. Or like whatever. And I was like, okay, Mr. Brown.
There's a weird line that I feel like Madea, like the Madea verse sort of has where it's like, it's holy, but also horny in a way where it's like that can't like neither can sort of like conflict with the other where it's like we're going to be horny, but in a way where it's like we won't say anything specific so that it can still be holy and we're going to be holy, but not in a way where it dissuades the fact that, you know, people are horny and that's great.
Also, the way TT reacts and shakes her head or their head in a way that I was like, is TT's neck okay? And that wig was truly glued down because it did not come off. Oh my God,
yeah, because she was like throwing her head around like crazy. Oh,
full exorcist, yeah.
And then later TT, I think it's called duck walking when you walk bent fully down. And I was like, TT's body can handle it.
Oh yeah, no, TT was doing a lot of moves.
Yeah, she at one point just like drops full to the ground in like it's not a full dead drop, but it was just sort of like, whoa, you hit your head on the floor. Or she didn't, but it was just like, it was a lot of stuff where I was like, okay, you are like auditioning for Drag Race right now. And I respect it, but also what else do you do here?
It was part of what made the character uncomfortable though, I think, is that like it was like she was doing these big things where I feel like they were funny, but like no one was giving it to her.
Audience didn't care.
Yeah. No, they didn't. Because TT's reactions I thought were funny.
Me too.
When TT truly moved her neck like that, it was very funny to me.
But some of it I was thinking, okay, if this was in one of the movies, I would be cracking up.
Yes.
But there's something about being on stage where it's like so far away and you're not getting like the full face emotions and everything. Mm-hmm. Like in the movies, a lot of this stuff would have been stuff that I thought was funny. Like, I don't know, like a lot of the things that felt really silent for the audience.
I think it's like the same way a multicam works, where it's like if the joke there isn't a big laugh after it, you feel like, oh, I also won't laugh at that. But then it's like they basically are telling you what things are funny and how funny they are. Whereas a movie, it's just like all up to you, and it's just so strange.
Yeah. So this is where Devin sings Brian McKnight's Back at One to Darlene and proposes. Darlene's concerned Devin is too young, but Madea and Bam convince her to reconsider. And then Madea offers more advice to everyone before she gets up to leave and dances to Pony by Genuine.
I mean, this was very funny to me. Madea putting her, she was like in a downward dog, ass up in the air, wiggling it around. I was like,
and she was like, I have my favorite gospel song. And I was like, meow, meow, meow. And I was like, okay, that is funny.
I laughed and then really hard.
Darlene asks Cora to sing a gospel hymn and the play ends, quote unquote, because honestly, it doesn't end for another 40.
You should tell people that like you have an intermission and then be like, all right, from this point on, we're singing.
Yes.
It's not plot related anymore. Yes. Everything's
no more
fine.
Plot.
I did say to Mike when we were watching it, I was like, if I was there, I think I could be excited about the songs going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. Just because everyone was so good. And like, you know, most of the songs or all of the songs. And so then it's like, this is fun. But on my computer, I was truly, it was like what you said, Nicole. I'm just like, why is this happening? Mm-hmm. Why is it? And then part of what I thought was confusing was like, the play's done. It feels like some people are not in character. Like some people are just doing stuff. Like when that one guy sings Maxwell and like This Woman's Work or whatever. And like, I'm like, he's just performing. He's not in character.
Yeah.
But then TT comes out and tries to do something and they're like, nope. And like push her away. Then Aunt Bam does this thing totally in character, mm-hmm. which was really good.
Oh yeah. Bam can sing.
Yeah. But I just was like, why are some people in character and some people aren't? And then when the like show ended and this also made me really sad. I mean, I don't know. I've sung emotional, but when they're like, here's the whole band, it's a live band the whole time. And then they put up each person's picture on a mm-hmm. huge screen and no one claps.
Yes.
I was like, clap was for the very fucking confusing. People.
I was like, it was weird. Cause I was like, nobody reacted the way I thought they would react in an audience. Like clap for the orchestra. And then, I mean, in the beginning, I guess the dialogue was so overlapping that they didn't leave room for laughs.
Yeah.
But I don't even know. I don't know if they would have laughed.
I also wonder if it was like, I feel like when the laughs got big, that's when you heard them. Or maybe they like turned it up at that point. But it does mm-hmm. feel like there's a point at which people are like laughing or like lightly chuckling or even just like clapping sort of quietly and you can't hear it. Mm. And then when it's like big, you can hear it. So it feels like no one's clapping otherwise. But I also don't. I don't know, because it feels like once Madea comes in, or even when Aunt Ben comes in, it's just like laugh, 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 mm-hmm. laugh, laugh. And then it's so clear that the audience is alive. But every time else, it's like, no, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, like I would have liked to see people, like see some reactions just of even like during serious parts, like just see some people watching it or get like a section of the audience just to kind of get a sense of like, what are people thinking? Because it's...
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't clear. But this is also what we have come across so much with like, Tyler Perry doing so many different genres in one thing where you don't know how to feel like watching the movies. Like we had like a moment with the, which I always mix up which one it is, but the one where, the woman has cancer and then she dies.
I can do that all by myself.
No, it's either Big Happy Family or Family Reunion.
Yeah. That's what I mix up those two.
It's yeah.
But anyway, like we were like, you know, all over the place emotionally mm-hmm. watching that. Like there's one moment where you're laughing and the next moment you're like literally sobbing. At like, this like beautiful funeral scene.
Sobbing at the end.
And like, that's interesting, but I feel like it didn't feel like people were having that emotional response. It just mm-hmm. felt like it was silence or enjoyment. I don't know.
Yeah. And for 2 hours, that's a lot.
It is
a lot of silence and a lot of enjoyment.
It is a lot. So some trivia about this play. This play toured from January 2019 to February 2020, and the filmed version of the play is the final performance. And the play is Quaylon Rogers' first stage appearance as his internet character, TT. Internet character!
That's okay. Oh, yeah. I was confused by that because I was like, did Tyler Perry license this character out to Quaylon? Because he was doing other stuff with this character. But I guess they were just like, what if TT was part of this family?
Which makes sense. Madea, okay. Or not Madea. Tyler Perry likes to pull like popular internet stuff. Mm. So I think TT existed before TT definitely existed before the play.
Okay. That's actually really interesting. I mean, I'm Googling a bit about this now, and I guess there was some talk of TT joining a Martin reboot at one point. So this character has been in other stuff or talked about being in other stuff, but like, so is it I mean, it seems like if it's an internet character, it's a comedic character.
Yes,
I guess so. But the way that she's treated in this feels like, well, it's not supposed to be a comedic character. It's supposed to be like a real character that does comedic beats, but not mm-hmm. a character that you go and you're like, haha, that's funny. Just by their nature of existence. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Tyler just didn't know what to do with TT, but wanted to have TT in the play.
Yeah.
Okay, so it says Instagram star Quaylon Rogers. Okay, so I need to look up this Instagram, but he had a movie, a feature film called TT Goes Undercover. There was news about this in October 2020. So
TT also has a show. I think it's like TT in Love. It's like a dating show, but I think it's not real. I think it's a parody. I don't know. But I've seen TT's on Instagram. I think TT's funny. I'm confused about the character fully.
Yeah.
So like, I don't see a page for Quaylon himself. I don't know what the Instagram is supposed to be.
It's blame it on the Quay.
Okay. I have to look at this. Okay, here we go. Okay, so he has 5 million followers.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that was Tyler being like, oh, this will bring the young people to see my plays.
Yeah, I need to like go down a wormhole with what the vibe is with TT on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I always thought it was just a character. I thought it was a man playing a woman. I don't know. I truly don't know.
Yeah, I guess I really didn't like how the character was treated the whole time. So it was hard to have fun with TT.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It feels like maybe there's some external information we need to have about how people see TT usually to understand this. But
like if TT's like an annoying neighbor character or something that everyone's mm-hmm. like, you're annoying. That's different than being like, we don't like that you're trans.
Yeah,
it's like a very different.
Especially because they do go, no, this is our daughter. She's part of the family, but she's ugly. It's like, what's happening? What, why are
you? Well, even that point where they were like, oh, you look, she was like, yes. I look like my mom. And then they were like, you don't.
You look like your dad.
And they put a blue hat on the dad because TT has blue hair. And then I was like, okay. Like, I just can't tell what the point is of that.
And that's the kind of stuff where like TT feels like she's about to get an emotional thing. And then they go like, you look like this man. And everyone's like, ha, 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 ha. And you're like, whoa, what's happening here?
Totally.
So the awards, the play and the filmed version did not receive any of those.
What?
Any of those things. Some of the reception. A critic from the New York Times wrote, Madea's farewell play covers familiar Madea territory. Wisecracks, music, and a plot built on a law school graduation that brings the family back together. Comfort food for fans who stream this recorded version. Okay.
The earnings have not been disclosed because it's probably so much money that it's just, you can't even imagine. Because it toured for a year to sold out venues from January 2019 to February 2020.
How does he do that and still make all of these movies?
Because he makes them in a week.
It truly must be that he goes like, okay, I'm going to take 1 week off and shoot all of The Oval. Then I'm back on the road. Then mm-hmm. I'm going to do 1 week off and shoot a full feature length movie. It's like, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't seem sustainable, but I mean, maybe COVID was kind of good for him in that way because mm-hmm. he was able to just like focus and have a bunch of shit going on where he could be there.
He's like, I wrote 45 movies in COVID and I'm going to shoot them all tomorrow.
I mean, honestly, he probably also toured on the weekends. So he probably worked Monday through Thursday on things and then would just tour on the weekends and then maybe go on vacation for a week. I don't know if Tyler Perry vacations.
I am genuinely fascinated from like a production standpoint of how he can shoot a movie.
100%. I mean, I would really enjoy being there to understand like what the conditions, like, is everyone exhausted or is everyone kind of happy it's like so quick? Like, what
can do they just light the entire set and they can just change the camera and not have to change it? Because I'm just like, even just stopping down to shoot, even if you're like, we got this, let's go. I'm like, you can't do things that quick. I'm so curious.
Yeah. And I feel like with Tyler Perry, in some movies, he plays like four characters and you have to do mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a lot of prosthetics. There's some prosthetics in some of them, but just the full on changes and then acting with the stand-ins, like that should take a long time. Like that kind of stuff is mm-hmm. tedious, but nope.
He figured it out.
I wonder if while he's changing over characters, if there's a monitor in the makeup trailer where he's got like a walkie and he's directing that way.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Oh, my God. I wouldn't be surprised. That seems to make sense.
Right? Because if your eyes are open, you can watch it and you can direct. I mean, it's been interesting trying to figure out how Tyler does shit so fast.
I wonder if he also works with so many of the same people because he's like, I don't have to direct this person. They know the character. They'll read it.
That is probably true. It's like, okay, we'll go throw Mr. Brown in here. He'll do mm-hmm. his thing. That'll be easy. So, I mean, after seeing the play, where are we with Tyler Perry? Does this change anything about what you think?
I've always felt weird about people's attitudes towards Tyler Perry because it feels like there's a lot of like
very subtle racism and classism in the way people talk about it, where it's like, this is just, these are only popular because of dumb black people. But then they'll say shit about like Adam Sandler, where it's like, you know, he's just having fun and making movies. And it's like, it's the same thing.
It's the same shit.
And I'm like, just because Tyler Perry makes movies that are not for you doesn't mean that they're inherently valueless.
Totally.
But then I also watch this and I'm like, yeah, it's still not for me, despite a lot of these things genuinely being like, wow, I find that honestly funny and I think he's got something to it. Mm-hmm. But then there's a lot of stuff in between that where I'm just like, hey man, don't do this. So I just feel like I'm at the same point with Tyler Perry where I'm just sort of like, he gets undue shit, but also I'm not about to go out and rent Boo 2 sincerely. I might watch it ironically. If they do a Boo 3, I'll go see it in theaters. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel, Lauren, now that you've seen the play and you've experienced so much of his work?
Seeing the play was interesting because I was thinking, even though it was his final play and I would have been curious what like the original plays were like, it did kind of open my eyes to the tone of his movies and like these characters and seeing like where they kind of come from and like the vibe that they have on stage was really interesting and put it into perspective for me in a way. But I also feel like at the end of the day, I just enjoy the film, the movies, like more than the play. Like the play vibe wasn't for me, but I also don't necessarily love watching like filmed plays. If I were going to see it, maybe I'd want to go there. But I thought it was, I don't know. I thought it was a bit eye opening to see Madea on stage and just to see how he made that speech at the end. That was like, you know, touching. But because this is our final episode, I've had so much fun watching all of these, and I feel like I'm going to watch more because there's so many things that we haven't seen that I'm like, that people will tell me like, oh my God, you have to watch this one. You have to watch that one. There's always like another one to watch. I really enjoyed this and it's gone by so fast because we've been having so much fun. And so I agree with Demi's point that like, whether it's for me or not, it's like, it's a fun time. It's a good time. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's maybe not world changing, but it doesn't need to be at all. And I'm having fun watching them. So it's been a good journey. What do you think?
I feel fully the same way. It's been a wonderful journey. I have truly just tee-hee-heed at so many things. Like, it's funny. I love Madea. I think Madea is a very funny character. I say what you will about like the writing, the acting or whatever, but Tyler Perry gives you so much that you can find at least one thing that you like that he's done. Yeah. And Demi, to your point where people are like, Adam Sandler is a genius or whatever. And it's like, is it like sometimes Adam Sandler isn't for everybody. Tyler Perry isn't for everybody. I do wish people would stop, you know, being disparaging about his work because I think it's impressive. Like whether you like it or not, you have to say it's impressive.
Well, and I think, you know, as much as we can laugh about the process, it's like knowing that he is shooting it so fast, he's doing it, he's writing it in 2 days, he's shooting it in 2 days, and like it's funny, I'm still going, hey man, he did it. Like,
yeah.
And he talks in his speech at the end of the play, which I guess was the last performance, so it was the most, I don't know if he made that speech every time, but he like thanks the audience for supporting his movies and talks about all the jobs that he's given to black actors. And like, I think that's amazing. And so you can't like because he creates so many jobs, like truly, like he's shot, you know, thousands of things at this point, thousands of hours of content. And that's great. He's like, you know, all these people are supporting their families from these shows. And it's not just about me and blah, blah, blah. And I mean, it's complicated when someone is a billionaire because you kind of have to think there's something bad about that.
Yeah.
but
he's done a lot of good.
He's done a lot for other people.
You know, distributing the vaccine to people. I think he's a wonderful person. And honestly, I am sad that we are coming to a close on this.
Me too. And if there are roles for us in Madea, if it hasn't already been shot, I would think we both would be wide open to that.
Would love it.
And if he listens to the show, I hope he understands that we are teasing with love and fun. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Tyler Perry, just like write a little C storyline about two little podcasters
who are
talking about Madea, who are doing like a true crime series on Madea.
Oh my god, that would be so good.
I want this so badly. Have it be a follow up to the movie where Madea goes to jail, and then it's just like a Halloween parody, and it's you two covering Madea.
That would be awesome. So good. Oh my god. Okay. That might happen.
I mean, from our lips to Tyler's ears to his computer screen.
I mean, the amount of people who've tagged us, I have to think he's seen our names pop up.
I hope so.
I don't know.
If enough people tweet at him, he will, or just like write like a paragraph for him and just go, you can use this for free. He will be like, that's 5 minutes of work done. Let's go. You're in.
Oh man, I love it so much. Well, this has been so fun.
Yeah.
I mean, we have other things in store for everyone out there after this season, now that it's complete. Some surprises to come. We are talking about our next season and what we're going to do. But thank you so much for following us on this journey. I think we've gotten a lot of people to at least consider Tyler Perry, if not if
who
they haven't
probably
also
wouldn't
it all.
Have.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Me too. Demi, thank you so much for being here. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Thank you for having me. The Amber Ruffin show is still going. Watch that.
It's so good. It's really fucking good.
It's so
good.
Thank you. Her book, by the way, is great. Have you read or I listened to the audiobook?
It's great.
Ooh, yeah. I want to read it.
Everything she touches is just gold.
She makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah. Well, all right. Everyone watch that. And thank you all for following us. And we'll see you next season.
Wait.
Oh, no, wait. There's one.
Lauren. This is my favorite
swear,
part.
I was not trying to skip it. It's the five hallelujahs segment. And it's the last one that we have. So how could I possibly have forgotten? Okay, so this one comes from Update the App Again. That's their name. Loving the real MCU on my 20th watch through with this pod. I grew up watching the MCU and have watched Diary of a Mad Black Woman and Madea's Family Reunion since I was about 6. But these movies, shows, and plays have never been funnier than with Nicole and Lauren's input. P.S. As a resident of Georgia, you're basically obligated to be an extra on a Tyler Perry movie at least once. So I can confirm that he wraps every scene in 3 shots or less and that the Madea transformation from plain clothes director to Tyler... Or plain clothes to, or what am I trying to say? The Madea transformation to become Tyler in plain clothes takes only 30 minutes. It's absolutely wild. So, I mean, yeah.
Why would he ever step out of the Madea outfit? I'd just be like, am I going to be in this, the full movie? This is how I show up to set.
Just directing it all day. Okay. I think I read that wrong. It takes 30 minutes to put it on. So it's not a long transformation. So, okay. That's very fascinating. Jen Fly writes, 5 hallelujahs. I wish I could hear Lauren and Nicole every day. The Star Wars and Lord of the Rings episodes were hilarious, but somehow they've gotten even better with the OG MCU. Thank you so much, everyone. And thank you for your nice reviews. And we will see you soon with something else.
I'm like genuinely misty-eyed.
I know. I'm kind of like, oh, it's ending. It feels too soon. But
it really does.
But see, even if we did 20, we'd still go, we need 100 more. There's just way too much to
so
cover.
So much.
I'm surprised that you guys skipped Boo.
I know. We were going to watch Boo at one point. It was on the calendar. I don't remember what happened. But yeah, you know, something to look forward to.
Yeah, that's it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Was a HeadGum original.